everybody. Welcome to Sapphic Culture Club, where we explore lesbian themes in film, TV, books, music, and anywhere else sapphics roam. We are your hosts. I'm Laurel Hachinova.
And I'm Audrey Nee. Oh, do you recognize that sound? It's the sound of mail. All the mail we got.
Is that also how you handle your mail? Is you of like shuffle it and crumple it? And
yeah. As soon as I get it out of the mailbox, I just crumple it up. Oops.
I wonder if any Foley artists listen to this podcast, because I'm very embarrassed for us.
Don't be embarrassed. They're probably so impressed with our amateur Foley skills.
They're definitely so impressed with our Foley skills.
Anyway, that's correct. It's a sound of mail, which means it's mailbag time. It's our first mailbag of 2022, and if you are new to the show, this is where we respond to questions, suggestions, love letters, hate mail, and other feedback from listeners. So get ready.
Why is it love letters and hate mail?
Should it be something else?
Hate letters and love mail. It doesn't sound the same, though. It doesn't sound
mail,
right.
Love mail.
Love mail.
And hate letters.
Hate letters.
It doesn't work as well.
No.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, there's the nice alliteration of love letters.
That's true. That's true.
Is there like a better hate mail? And hate mail.
Hate missives. Hate.
Hate messages. Hate.
Hate mail's fine. Let's go
Okay, good. We're good. English language. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think we have disclaimers for this one. If we mispronounce your username slash actual name, we're sorry. We're trying, but we'll do our best.
Let's start with some feedback that we got about our previous two episodes, which were completely dedicated to Carol.
It's sort of a surprise cap off to the Carol series. I didn't realize that, you know, we were going to have a sort of bonus Carol segment, but here we are.
It keeps going.
Yeah.
Carol
keeps caroling.
Forever. Yeah. I mean, this is from Mary, and Mary had shared their feedback in, I think, the first episode when we went over like comments and thoughts about Carol from listeners. So in a sense, I don't think this is a surprise to us or maybe people who have been listening, but Mary has elaborated or provided like specific feedback about the previous couple episodes. So
from Mary, regarding my comment about Carol and male gaze, I think as you suggested last episode, it was gay male gaze. All style and pseudo reality, almost fetishized 50s behaviors, smoking, posing, macho men, and depressed little women. It didn't feel real to me, very little heart. I read the book in the 70s when I came out and felt, even then, this is a trashy Hollywood paperback version of reality. I like Kate Blanchett and found her to be overacting in this role. Mara Rooney was so zombie-like. I was bored by its rich, suffering, closeted white women trope. Could not feel any passion or love. I know they were trying to show repression, but the director also wanted it to be so cool. And to me, it tried so hard to look authentic, it was fake. I'd love to find out. I'm not the only one who didn't love this film, but will bear up if it's only me.
Well, we have news for you, Mary.
Oh,
you are definitely not the only one who didn't like this film. We threw up a quick poll and we asked out of curiosity, who out there does not like the movie Carol? Your options were not a fan or how dare you. And as of right now, because the poll is still running as we're recording, we are at 22% not a fan, which is almost a quarter of people who responded do not like the movie Carol. And I'll just say that's over 30 people, which is quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it's still going. I think like I would have loved to have the poll be a little bit more nuanced and have different degrees of, you know,
because
some people haven't seen it too. But also, I think what reflects like my personal opinion about the film, which I admittedly love, is that like it's complicated, right? Because I think you can feel what you're saying, Mary, but also there's degrees of it and maybe like more appreciation. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people fit into that category. So I don't think it has to necessarily be binary, but unfortunately we couldn't reflect that with the poll that we ran.
Yeah, I actually was talking to Allie just before we started recording because she saw the poll right as I stepped into the recording closet. And she said that, that was the foam roller.
No, you need to stop that.
I'm me. Okay. That's great. That's our gay ASMR.
Oh, actually, it could be. Okay, stop.
Okay. And she said, I more don't like it than I do like it. And I was surprised for a second, and I don't know why. I was surprised because we had actually discussed this before, but her main issue is that she didn't like the relationship. And it's not so much the age gap between Carol and Therese, it's the vibe. So it's that sort of like Therese is this naive early on, right? In the for the most of the movie, she doesn't know what she wants. She's very sort of like starry-eyed and struck by Carol in a way that makes her seem just sort of like a naif, sort of just kind of trailing along. Yeah, we were really hung up while we were watching it this last time on the mother-daughterliness of it, which, as you said, the book is even, it's even like more pronounced in the book. But other than that, she thought that the acting was good and that the movie overall was, quote, nice looking. So, yeah, I definitely saw that through her eyes as we were watching it together.
I can see that. I mean, I think I love this movie partly because it's like prompts all this sort of discourse around it too. And one thing that I'm curious about, and maybe like we can throw up another quick poll, is how many people who voted that they didn't like the film had seen it after Portrait.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'll never know like what my feelings about it would be if I hadn't, because I can't, unfortunately, rewind time and test that out. I did see it, you know, when it came out. And so for me at the time, it was a gut punch.
Yeah, it totally blew
me away. I just didn't have that benchmark of Portrait. I'm not saying I wouldn't still love it.
I mean, I saw it after Portrait and it's still in my top five. You know, I still think it's a beautiful film.
But you mentioned last time like it wasn't a gut punch for you. I think you appreciate the film.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
For what it is, but it didn't necessarily like blow you away or like change your life or anything.
That's true.
I mean, I think for Mary, they read the book in the 70s and so they have like a lot more background there.
Yeah.
So obviously I don't think like everyone who doesn't like it saw it after Portrait, but just curious about like if there is any correlation there.
Yeah.
One other thing, I'm not going to call out anyone specific, but I did notice a little theme around people who voted not a fan. It seemed like there were at least a handful of people who were almost like shameful about it. I think in a joking way, right? Like not like, you know, I'm not, like whipping myself in the back or anything, like flogging myself. But
we're following yourself with a shame bell.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So I think it's interesting how this movie, I think because it's so popular in the sort of sapphic realm that, you know, not liking it seems like it's almost like not liking Portrait.
Yeah.
So based off the feedback we're getting around like feeling, you know, oh, I'm a bad gay, I do think, Mary, you should start like a support group because I don't think you feel any shame around it. So I think you should start a support group and everyone who doesn't like the film should join it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that Instagram account yet, so you'll have at least 30 followers.
Was there anything else in the comments that you wanted to mention? Or
I think I mentioned the it's complicated part too. Some people hadn't seen it. Some people had mixed feelings about it, like love, hate, you know, kind of probably closer to how Allie feels about it and even you. Mm-hmm. But I think, again, like all those things can coexist. So yeah, surprised by the results? Let us know.
Want to pull the next letter out of the bag?
Yeah, let me pull the next letter out of the bag. So this... Goodness. It's a long one. We asked, what was your favorite sapphic movie, TV show, and or other media from 2021? And we got a bunch of responses that you mailed in to us.
It sounds like one page, but okay.
It is. I don't have any other paper. Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm a mess with mail. I don't know how to deal with physical mail. Just a quick note, we were kind of vague about like what media from 2021 means. So it could be, you know, something that came out in 2021, or it could be something you just watched in 2021 for the first time or not. And so we got a mix of responses there. Surprisingly, several people responded with Portrait of a Lady on Fire as their favorite sapphic movie, TV show, and other media from 2021. I'm actually surprised we didn't get more because, in a sense, like if you're watching it regularly, maybe it's your favorite from every year, right?
Although, you know, maybe people interpreted the question as just things that came out in 2021, or most people may have interpreted it that way.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. Right. We, again, not specific in the description. But okay, so we'll share a few responses we got from y'all. Claire said, I first watched Portrait in 2021, woozy face emoji, but also really like the show Anne Plus.
Have you heard of that?
No. What is Anne Plus?
What is Anne Plus? Is it like Anne of Green Gables, but she's a cyborg now?
Yes. Oh, that'd be amazing. No, it's a real show.
It is a real show. She's not just making it up. Cool. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
So the synopsis is, upon bumping into her ex-girlfriend, Anne reflects on how her past relationships have contributed to who she has become. Sounds interesting. That, yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it looks like it's on Netflix, and we'll definitely give that a try. So yeah. thanks for the rec.
That's cool.
Go to Georgia said the L word and pull off, two very different things.
Do you think that's Gen Q or... Are they rewatching the original?
Well, it's hard to say, but you know, Gen Q did just come out, so, or came out last year, so.
Yep. Okay.
So, and then Shana Loves Food says, trying to recall, all I can think about is Portrait. Fair enough.
Okay. And then we had, in sort of second place, this is all pretty loose, but a bunch of people mentioned Dickinson. Trisha Basil said Dickinson season 3. Anna Luisa Lomba also said Dickinson season 3 hit me hard, not gonna lie. So we have talked about this on the show before. I think neither of us have still watched it.
Yeah, I need to give this a chance.
Maybe we need to, yeah. Are you gonna start from season 1 if you give this a shot?
Oh, yeah. I don't watch shows in the middle of seasons.
Yeah.
It would take, oh my God. I feel like it would be physically painful for me to do that.
I think I'd be okay.
I know. Yeah. We've established that.
Yeah.
It's like reading a book starting from the middle.
You can recap.
Yeah. The recaps aren't enough. Watching a movie starting from the middle, no.
That's true. I value my time. I don't know.
I obviously don't value mine, so great. Cool.
And I heard you told me, right? Like season 2 was pretty rough
My friend told me season three was pretty rough, but it seemed like it got toward the end of season 3, maybe like things went up. There's also that scene that we kept seeing floating around social media where it's clear that they're doing
portrait thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I should give it a try.
Okay.
Okay. Another one that got some mentions for favorite is The World to Come, which I don't think it came out last year, but I'm sure a lot of people saw it last year because I don't know if it was like widely available, but including Cheetah, who said The World to Come but first half only cry.
Totally. Another one that got mentioned a couple times was Yellow Jackets and Baby of Portrait of a Survey on Fire on Instagram. Check it out, take the survey. Said my brain is broken, in parentheses, maybe Yellow Jackets, but only started it. I think we'll talk about Yellow Jackets later on in the show.
We sure will. Okay. Oh, I have a drinking game or whatever, a shot and squat game for this episode, which is every time we mention the survey, shot or a squat. And then some people mentioned Arcane, including Biba Becker, who said Arcane in Motherland, Fort Salem. We did a watch along for Motherland. Did you ever watch any more?
Nope.
Sorry, what was that?
Sorry.
Have you seen Arcane?
I haven't, but I've heard really good things. And it looked, I saw a clip of it because we were at some friend's house and they were watching it, but it looked really good. So I'm interested. It's on Netflix, FYI, everybody. And then we have a couple of single mentions, which I thought were interesting. So 7x4 said Fragrance of the First Flower, which I am not familiar with. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
So TBD. I'm not going to recommend it, but it's been mentioned. It sounds Oh, did you look it up?
I did. Yeah, this looks... I definitely would check this out.
Can you...
Oh, sorry. The log line on IMDb is... What? It just starts with, reveals the love and lust between two women, the conflicts between gay family and traditional stereotypes. It finds back the forgotten love with a romantic touch.
Okay.
Oh, I guess they're trying to lead with like Fragrance of the First Flower reveals the love and lust between two women. But it starts with reveals the love and lust.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Anyway, I know how to figure things out.
I'm a little bit not interested in the whole like gay couple conflicting with conservative family.
Is that what
story
that is?
Isn't that like the second to last thing in that synopsis?
Oh, you're right. Traditional stereotypes. Yeah, the conflicts between gay family and traditional stereotypes. Well, I wasn't sure how to interpret that. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Now
within your chosen gay family? And like, what kind of stereotypes? I don't know. Maybe I'll try it out and let you know.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then we also have a recommendation from Matou for Vigil, which I am also not familiar with.
Wow, we're really good at this. We're really on top of things this year, last year. Visual I think movie. I heard of this, but I don't know anything about it. Oh, dead.
Is it this one?
Nuclear submarine. Oh. Scottish. Oh, this is the one with what's her name from Gentleman Jack and what's her name from Game of Thrones.
I was like, because I'm seeing something different.
No. Because I think they're in a relationship in it, those two characters. And I was definitely intrigued, but...
I am only seeing, like, a horror movie.
Nope. Not How that. Maybe it is.
Did it come out in 2021?
Yeah. It's technically... I guess it's considered, like, a police procedural type of drama.
Okay. I see it. Oh, it's a TV series.
It is a TV series. It's on, Peacock, which I got, like, a free trial of briefly to watch... What was that girl group TV show?
Blackpink? No, I don't know.
Like it was kind of like an early 2000s girl group. Tina Fey produced it or something like that. Anyway, I was like, I cannot subscribe to any more things. So I stopped.
Yeah, same. Okay.
No, yeah. Excited that people are enjoying it.
Thank you for bringing that back up. Yep. We also got The Mitchells versus The Machines, which is an animated movie on Netflix. Thank you, Biba Becker, for bringing this up. I have only heard that there is queerness in it.
And daughter, yeah.
And it's done really nicely.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but it has been in my, like, high-level queue that I never get to. But it is voiced by, oh my gosh, what's her name from Broad City?
Alana? Or?
No, the other one. Abby.
Abby. Who is also
I know.
A known lesbian.
That's what I was, yeah. And she's, like, engaged or something to her person now. It's really cute. Great recommendation. Shayna Loves Food says, I love sapphic meme accounts like sapphic.jam. Stranger Works said, every queer person making fun of Ammonite was my favorite queer media of 2021.
That's good.
Agreed. Yeah. Edie Fields said, Benedetta. Good call. We haven't, or I don't know if it's a good call because I haven't seen it yet, but thank you for mentioning that.
We also got from Grace Park. I know there's other content, but right now The Bisexual is coming to mind. I fucking love that show.
Yeah, that was great. That
Highly
was good.
Recommend that.
Desiree
Akavan, yeah.
Thank you.
I love everything she does. Mm-hmm. Alex YZI said, The Bachelorette Australia.
The fact that this is being mentioned as like sapphic media is... like, not that I've seen The Bachelorette Australia, but now I'm very curious.
Was this just like a very...
They could be trolling us. I'm not sure.
But... No. Why would anyone troll us?
Why would anybody troll sapphics?
Oh, wait. Is this the one where like two of the
contestants go off with each other?
I know there was one that was like that, but yeah. But I don't think that was Bachelorette Australia.
Oh, openly bisexual lead. Yeah.
Oh.
According to TeenVogue.com.
This is great. You know what?
Yay!
We got some good responses here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you weren't trolling us. Sorry, Alex. Thank you.
How dare you doubt them?
Heart.
Laurel's hearting you. And Mark 13 said hacks. Oh, good. I'm actually kind of surprised more people didn't mention this. That was a very enjoyable season. I know not everyone agrees with me. And then finally, the last one in this group that we will mention, Cheetah said, Tell It to the Bees book. Not from 2021, but I read it in 2021.
That counts.
It's so good versus the film. I will add this to my list today. To read, not watch.
Yeah.
Forget about watching. Not watch. Yeah. Never watch. No, I'm just kidding. I'll start reading.
I don't know. I've heard not great things about
the
film.
But so I will definitely start with reading it.
Yeah. Okay. So let me get to the... I'll pull the next one out of the stack. And the question was... What sapphic content are you most looking forward to in 2022? Let's see what people said. All right. Our first response is a letter from the NAACP.
Wow. I'm glad they listened to
the
us.
The first group of responses is Tar. Are we spreading rumors that it's sapphic? Maybe. I don't know. We got it from other people.
I added that note because, well, it's partly my fault, I think. So this is, there's a lot going on here. So as maybe everyone's heard now, there's like a upcoming film, but I think they just started shooting like it towards the end of last year, called Tar, starring Cate Blanchett. So what we know for sure is that Cate Blanchett is playing the lead, whose name is Lydia Tar, and she's based on a real person who I think is still alive, who is a known real life lesbian, right? Okay, so we have that. And then Noemi, we know also that Noemi Merlant is in the film, and there's been a lot of talk around her playing Kate Blanchett's partner, which I hope is true. I think is true. But the thing is, it's not confirmed. Like, we can't, I can't find any source saying like which character Noemi is actually playing. I know in real life, Lydia Tarr has a partner. I'm like trying to figure this out. And we know that like Noemi mentioned in an interview, I can't remember the exact wording, but she alluded to the fact that she has a girlfriend or like kisses a woman or something lesbianic in an American film. And so I think everyone is just kind of putting those two things together and assuming that she plays her partner, but it's totally possible that's not the case. And in which case, I apologize. And also, I think there's going to be a lot of people let down.
Yeah.
It's not just us. It's like a lot of other, you know, like sapphic Instagram accounts are like talking about it. So anyway, that's the story behind that.
But maybe we can will it to happen if we all just hope hard enough.
Just yearn hard enough.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Yearn. Just keep yearning. We'll get there.
So Baby of Portrait of a Survey on Fire on Instagram, please check it out and take the survey, commented A League of Their Own series. So speaking of Abby Jacobson, she is also, I think, like executive producing this, and she's got a role in it as well. So this is a TV series. It's related to the movie, but it's not like a sequel.
Oh my God. I just saw that Darcy Carden's in it, who's in...
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Good Place.
The Good Place, yeah.
Yeah. She's so great.
Oh, love her.
It's kind of the same premise, but it's different in that...
It's more diverse. It's not
Well, it covers like
women.
Different teams, you know? It's it's not just like the Georgia Peaches and whoever. It's also...
It kind of just exists in the same universe, which is based
female
on a real
Negro
thing.
Leagues kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the same character. They're playing any of the same characters.
Right.
So. Cool. Yeah. I too am looking forward to this.
Yeah. From Lauren What's Up, we got Gentleman Jack Season 2. Great. From Trisha Basil, we've got The Half of It Part 2. Is that actually a thing?
Maybe they watched the first half of it, because you know how it split into two? Was it? Or did I just split it into two in my brain? Because no, it was called The Half of It. okay. I don't know what's going on.
Because she didn't say it. She
oh,
said
maybe
Dickinson
it's just like hopeful.
3 in the, yeah,
oh, yeah,
it
wait.
Could be hopeful.
I think there is The Half of It Part 2. There's a teaser. There's a sequel. Yeah.
Great.
All right.
Wait.
It's going to be called The All of It. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
That's not true.
Okay. I was like, oh, fine.
Cool.
Hopefully it's gayer. I don't know. From Stranger Works, we got Janelle Monáe as James Bond. That would be great.
Can I yearn that into existence too?
Put it on the yearn list. Grace Park said, I'm too out of the loop to know. That's why I listen to you guys. Point taken. Fair point. But also, sorry, because
apparently we don't know about The Half of It Part 2.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Wah, wah.
Let's check out this next thing we got. Like, I don't have any unopened mail is the problem.
Here, I can. Oh, I have it. I can open it and then send it to you through.
Make a little airplane, paper airplane, and send it to me.
I don't know why I insist on
just take your time,
opening it lengthwise. I'm always so afraid that I'm going to slice my
What do you mean?
Open.
What other way would you open it?
Like,
ugh, it's gross. Oh. Oh, I guess if you tear that way. Okay.
And it's like, it's so much shorter than the envelope. Not so much shorter, but like, yeah, like you have a little gap.
Yeah, I guess it will.
This is the important sapphic content you need. Okay, here you go.
Oh, thanks. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got it. It has come through. It has come through the Zoom. Wow. Stop hitting my face. This is very aggressive.
Aggressive male.
Okay, so we asked, if you had to describe 2022 so far in one word, it would be? Claire said, exhausting. Yes. I feel like I agree with every one
of
these.
I know, yeah.
Jen Cyclopedia Brown, traumatic. Mm-hmm. Baby of Portrait of a Survey on Fire. Please take the survey if you haven't already. Nightmarish. Dang. Yep.
Yeah.
Can't disagree with that. Francesco, maybe, Rapizzi, said creative. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I like that. Annalisa Consolo said quarantined. Very true.
Yeah. Also, sorry. Please continue to quarantine.
Oh, to continue. Yeah. Trisha said same. Shayna loves food. Happening. Very profound there.
Yeah.
Stranger Works said not gay enough.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Every year.
Grace Park said in one word, 2021, but worse.
You know, wait, but on the not gay enough, I wonder if there's ever going to be a year where it's like, whoa, too gay, too gay. I don't think so. So just keep
but
it.
But could there ever be a year that's like gay enough?
Just gay enough. Just gay enough. Like, that'd be great.
This is the right amount of gay?
Yeah.
Maybe?
I hope so. That feels like a practical goal. I don't know.
We'll talk about our goals in a second.
We'll talk about that. It's great.
And then Naya Desi said, slow. Yep. Exhausting, traumatic, nightmarish, creative, quarantine, same, happening, not gay enough. 2021, but worse, slow. Yep.
Yeah. Nailed it, everybody. Great work.
All right. You got this next letter?
All right. Let's see.
Do you need me to shove it in your face?
Oh, my God. Please don't. Okay. I'm going to try
to. Wow, you got a lot of unopened mail, Laurel.
It's one of my adult shames. How infrequently I go through my mail.
Let's talk about the rest of your adult shames while we're here.
No, I just said one. That was too many.
While Laurel is opening this letter, if you haven't had a chance to take the Portrait of a Survey on Fire, you can go to Portrait of a Survey on Fire on Instagram and click on the link in their bio to take it.
Wow, very good. Okay, so we got this one from Twitter.
Ooh, thick.
From Bleentastic. I wouldn't call Why the Last Man inclusive just because it has trans people in it, when literally every woman except one is man-dependent in every single story of theirs before the event, and 90% of the main ones after. So I am going to toss this to you.
Wow, you're going to crumple it in a ball and hit my face.
Just to like, yeah, because okay, I can't get ahead. It through the internet unless it's small.
Ah! God! Ugh!
It's just a tweet. Bruised. It shouldn't hurt that much.
It does. Tweets hurt me. Okay, so I think this is probably responding to something I said a while ago when I... Did I recommend Why the Last
we
Man?
We may have as, recommended like, it, yeah.
Queer Media Rec, yeah. Okay, so I agree with you. Like, I think you're absolutely right that there are some problematic aspects of the show. It's literally called Why the Last Man.
The Last Man.
The Last Man. So it's definitely one centered on a cishet dude. But I will say, I think what I was talking about was more around the casting. I think the casting is like more inclusive than I would have expected, given it's based on this comic book, which was not. But I also think I agree with you, but I think it can be both, right? I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think it could have, I don't know if I want to call it like misogynistic elements, but I think it can also be inclusive on top of being problematic. And I also would add that like the story follows Yorick even less than in the comic. There are parallel storylines that don't really have that much dependency on him, like his sister storyline, like Hiro, as well as like his mother, these are spoilers actually, who is the president in the beginning of the season, and she doesn't even know he's alive, you know. That being said, the agent who's kind of been assigned to protect him is this Black woman, and yes, she's protecting a white man. Like, there's some problems there, but...
Do you know anything about the writer's room setup?
I don't know much about the writer's room. I do know that Charlie Jane Anders, who wrote the novel All the Birds in the Sky, and then the more recent one, I think The City in the Middle of the Night. I mean, there have been some other books that came out more recently, I think. But anyway, I think she was part of the writer's room.
Cool, yeah.
That's all I know, so... I do appreciate the comment, and I think this is actually a good reminder for us to check Twitter more often.
Yeah.
Next question we got from Shaudacious, who asked, have you seen Summer of Sangale? Sangale? Summer of Sangale?
Let's say, yeah.
Just saw it for the first time, and I'm in love. Ooh. I have not seen it. Have you?
No, I haven't. Let's read the synopsis.
17 years old Sangale. Sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly. Is fascinated by stunt planes. Okay, that was not She meets a girl her age at a summer aeronautical show. Oh my God, this is so cute. And Sangale allows Ost to discover her most intimate secret. Ooh, what is that? her Furby collection, and in the process finds the only person that truly encourages her to fly.
Oh,
I can't.
Why?
I love this.
Just
so cute.
Let the metaphor go.
Oh, ouch. Let it fly away in the wind.
Yeah. Although that is better than the very vague, a teen develops a lesbian romance with a 17-year-old who's spending the summer at her family's lake house. It's like, oh,
wait, which one was that?
That's the
another version of it?
Synopsis. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, that one's less spoilery.
I guess so.
But
like,
I don't know if I would read that and want to
see
it.
Yeah, like a summer aeronautical show? What?
Yeah,
give
She's me
fascinated
the planes.
By stunt planes? Yeah.
Just say stunt plane.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah.
Sapphic stunt planes. You know, this might be the first sapphic stunt plane movie that I've personally heard of.
Yeah.
Thank you. Another great rec. Well, I don't know if it's great, but another rec.
I want to know the gender of the director. Ooh, that's at least directed by a woman.
Written to by a woman.
I think so. Yeah. Okay, cool. From Grace Park, you guys really need to give out swag. Okay. Yeah, that sounds... We don't.
Can
well,
we highlight the fact that Grace said give out swag,
I know,
like,
I know.
For free?
Wow.
But also, I don't know if I should mention this, but Grace and I work at the same company, and Grace gets a lot of swag. And so I think Grace is coming from this place of, like, you know, constantly receiving swag, and now, you know, she's assuming that we're going to give her swag too.
But maybe she receives swag because she asks for it. She's
nah.
like, hey, you
no,
should give
in
me
some
swag.
Cases, no, she has gotten like accidental swag.
Oh, she's a swag magnet.
She's a swag magnet. Oh, that sounds like, I don't know. That sounds like how I would describe Pete Davidson.
I was going to say gross. I shouldn't say gross. I don't know. I don't know him enough to say gross.
Grace, you are a swag magnet. It is
true.
You
are the Pete Davidson of swag.
No!
I'm just kidding. Is what she just said. A plus B equals C.
Yeah, that's true. You are the Pete Davidson of our world. I don't know what that means.
I mean, I have swag that I don't want that I can just give you.
Oh, you should just send it to Grace. She'll
yeah.
love it.
I think I have like a bag from Toyotathon that you can have.
She loves Toyotas. So, okay, related to that, the next thing we're going to read is from Shana Loves Food, who asks us, do you two have any goals? And my goal is to give out swag.
Yeah.
But only to Grace.
Wait, didn't we have other goals? We just came up with some, like, to make this year gay enough or something.
Oh, yeah. Make it gayer. Oh,
yeah.
Make everything, all media from 2022 gay. That's my personal goal.
Yeah, that's a goal. I thought we had a very sort of like nonchalant goal before that, though.
Did we?
It's recorded, so I guess we'll find it
later. In the same episode? We talked about it?
Yeah. Or maybe we talked about it before we started recording. I don't know. Well, it was a very non-goal.
Okay. Also, another goal. Yes, we have goals. We have lots of goals.
We have make media in 2022 gayer and
hire an intern,
which
is another goal.
Hire an intern. By hire, we mean exploit. Exploit.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not going to pay you. We'll pay you in swag.
Yeah.
We'll pay you in Laurel's swag. I would like to make swag. I probably would not give it away except to Grace, but
don't encourage her to just like take free swag.
She's the swag. I can't help it. She's a swag magnet. It's like I just have this pull.
I'm compelled.
Yeah, exactly.
Also from Shana Loves Food, I love gay ASMR. It gives me life.
We appreciate you, Shana.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that because we love to make gay ASMR. Oh, that sounds gross. It's also really fun, and I'm glad at least
gross?
One person.
I thought it sounded like it was an ice cream or something.
Oh, I was thinking it's like something you squeeze out of your butt.
Oh my god! Wow. Oh, like an ice cream. No.
Like an ice cream. Yeah, exactly.
No, great.
Anyway, we do enjoy producing it, and I'm personally glad that at least one person is enjoying it.
Yeah, this is all for you, Shana. All the gay ASMR.
I mean, not everything can be for Grace Park, so Shana gets the gay ASMR. Okay, last thing we have here is from Stranger Works. Who's that?
I don't know.
Please make a list of lesbian films for baby gays, but with trigger warnings. Stranger Works, you are no longer a baby gay, but we can definitely make a list for you. Or maybe she's just thinking about
the generations. Thinking about the future.
Some of the trigger warnings that Stranger Works mentioned included gaslighting, mm-hmm. like a certain movie that we talk about sometimes. outing people, like a certain movie that we talk about sometimes without their permission. Oh, heterosex, which I actually thought we did a good job of last time in Carol, where we kind of like skipped over those parts.
Yeah. It was a nice edit.
Mm-hmm. Anything that falls into like the barrier gaze trope, gay shame.
Yep.
We could probably do like a doesthedogdie.com mm-hmm. of gay triggers. Yep. But if you don't know about this website, it's pretty great if there are, you know, specific things that kind of upset you in film. It's all listed in Does the Dog Die, from like literally everything you can think of and many you cannot. Okay, so why don't we segue into the last thing we're going to talk about,
which is what's happening next season.
Woo!
So
look how prepared we are. This is our goal. Our goal is to be more prepared.
Yeah. Nailed it. We are going to go through part of the survey results from the Portrait of a Survey on Fire on Instagram. If you have not taken the survey yet, please click on the link in bio. It's just a mishmash of.
If you are annoyed with us saying this repeatedly, it's because this is the last chance you have.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. Yes. Yeah.
So the survey's ending on January 28th, ooh, which is in
what
like
an auspicious
less than 2 weeks.
Date.
More. Oh, what does it mean? So that's why we keep mentioning it, because your time is running out if you have not taken it.
And so what we're going to do is one of the questions in the survey asks for your favorite queer films. And so we are going to take the top 10 of that list, and
we're
going
to dedicate at least one, if not two episodes to each of the films that fall in the top 10. We'll probably do it like backwards as a countdown. I mm-hmm. wonder what the first one's going to be. I think we've seen most of the films on this list, but some of them will be a surprise. And so we'll try to mix it up. Like maybe we'll do a watch along for some of them, or we'll just have a discussion and we'll try to bring on guests.
So here is what is in the top 10 currently. And if you agree or disagree with this list, you should fill out the portrait survey if you haven't yet.
Oh, there's a good incentive.
Yeah.
All right. Working backwards, currently, as of, I think, like 5 days ago, we got Water Lilies and Desert Heart tied at number 10. Desert Heart's Bound as 9.
Wait. So at 10 is Water Lilies and Desert Hearts?
Yeah, it's tied currently.
Okay, and then Bound is at 9.
9, yeah. Okay. You could break that tie if you'd like to.
Yeah.
8 is it Kiss Mig?
I think so, yeah. Or Kiss Me.
8 is Kiss Me.
Yeah.
7 is Disobedience. Can't wait to talk about that. 6 is Saving Face. 5 is The Handmaiden. 4 is Imagine Me and You. 3, But I'm a Cheerleader. 2, Carol. And 1... is Mission Impossible.
Nice. Mission Impossible Born Identity is at number
Mission
1.
Impossible Born Identity of a Lady on Fire is number 1.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire is number 1. I don't know if you got that.
Thanks, Laurel. So get ready. We are going to end this season. I think we have a couple more episodes, and then we'll take a short break and come back.
Yep.
With a bang. Now it's time for Media Rex. Kick it off, Laurel.
So for this episode, I am recommending a book from... We actually went to school together very briefly. He is a Chamorro activist, a human rights lawyer based in Guam, and also a very beautiful writer. And he last year published a book called The Properties of Perpetual Light. His name is Julian Uggen. And it's a collection of essays, some commencement speeches that he's given, poetry. It's really gorgeous stuff. It gives you a really nice taste of what Guam island culture is like and some of the things that we deal with. Highly recommend it. It's a really beautiful book. Oh, he's a queer person. That was so awkwardly like, inserted, but yeah.
So. I think that's implied in this section.
Thank
but
you.
I
yeah.
guess, yeah. Just, you're like, just because I read it, it's queer. Is this something that I could get from like Libby?
Bar
from,
oh,
like,
good
library
question. I'm not sure if you can. Well, maybe. Let's look.
Well, yeah. We'll link to it regardless.
Yeah, but it was published by the University of Guam Press, which is actually currently being the editor is my second cousin or something.
Wow.
Guam, everybody.
I heard it's a small island.
It's a pretty small island. But they've been putting out so much good stuff from local authors. And it's just what she's done with the press is really fantastic. So, and her name is Victoria Leon Guerrero. So, yeah, check out that stuff. I'll link to it in the show notes.
I'm not seeing it here in Libby, but...
Yeah, it might not be. I wonder how long it takes to get into... library circulation. Oh, no, it's available.
It's there?
Yeah.
I didn't see it on mine. It also depends on the library.
It is available from the Los Angeles Public Library.
Oh, it's not, okay. It's not available from San Francisco.
Which is where I live, authorities.
Oh my God, they're totally, the LAPL yeah. is like, oh, we caught you. Which is where I live. It's where you have your
Finally.
Vacation home.
Yeah.
Okay, so my media rec is way more serious than yours, which is this show you may have heard of called Yellow Jackets on Showtime. I have kind of mixed feelings about it. It is queer. It has two gay characters, or actually has at least a few gay characters, two lesbians, two girls who are in a thing. I don't know how to label them.
Do you know
them.
What lesbians are?
I don't know what lesbians are. It stars Melanie Lynskey, Christina Ricci, Juliette Lewis. They play like the older versions of, like the adult versions of these teens. It also kind of takes place now and in the 90s. So for all you 90s babies, there's obviously like the nostalgia payoff. It's not dissimilar to Lost and the more recent show The Wilds, just with a lot more body horror, especially in the earlier parts of it. And yeah. So first I was like, ooh, have you been watching it?
I have not.
The last couple episodes have, for me, kind of gone off the rails. Oh. But I'm still like so into it. Like it's very fun to watch. Okay. Whether or not it's good, it's like a crazy ride and keeps you on your toes.
What platform is this on?
It's on Showtime.
Oh, it's on Showtime. Okay.
Yeah. I see. The two women who play lovers, I guess, in the show have a Netflix podcast now called The Gay Agenda.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Jasmine nice. Savoy Brown, who's from The Leftovers. I don't know if anyone here has seen that, but she's in that. And then Liv Hewson, they host a podcast together. So I haven't listened to it yet, but excited to check it out. So a little hot tip, and like hopefully no one from Showtime is listening to this, but because I have too many subscriptions, I was like, I'm not going to subscribe to Showtime, but I got like a free month trial. So the finale was on, I think it was January 16th. So at this point, you could just get a month for free and just stream it all in, you know, a couple sittings.
Yeah.
So for those of us who don't want to pay for another, you know, 50 billionth subscription.
Yeah.
And now it's time for this week's SKASMR. Featuring Laurel and a speed cube.
A speed cube, if that sounds weird. It's a Rubik's cube, but if you've ever actually tried to solve a Rubik's cube, it's very stiff and clunky. Mm-hmm. And so people have taken the multicolored square format and turned it into something that's very like quick and easy to...
It's smooth. It glides. Yeah.
So the reason that we're ASMRing this is I got one for Christmas from Allie's parents.
Aw.
And it's actually, like, it's so nerdy. It's got magnets in the corner edges so that it, like, snaps into place a little bit. And as Allie's 10-year-old nephew tells me, it's very good for corner cutting. So, like, if you've got two layers in, like, a weird, awkward position, it's easy to just sort of snap them out of that. Anyway, I will be solving that for ASMR.
In like professional speed cubing competitions, is that allowed?
I have always wondered. So I think that you can enter like a Rubik's cube solving competition and everyone uses Rubik's cubes.
Yeah.
But for speed cubing, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's kind of like Formula One racing where you just bring your own car and everyone's cars are kind of like souped up depending on how rich they are, which feels like such a disadvantage, but I don't know.
Or maybe there's someone there like checking to make sure you don't have magnets, you know?
Yeah. It's like, no, this round is like no magnets.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why they sound like that.
Okay, so before we get to enjoy Laurel speed cubing, if you have any sapphic questions or your own ASMR for future episodes, you can email us at sapphiccultureclub@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at sapphiccultureclub and Twitter at sapphicpodcast. The episode transcript and other links we mentioned can be found in the description of the episode wherever you're listening to it, by the way. We painstakingly transcribe each episode.
It is wild transcribing some of these. Like, there was the episode where we were talking to Baby and Heather and we kept making owl noises, or maybe we were anticipating talking to them. I don't know, but we kept hooting, and so hooting, like transcribing
in both episodes,
like, yeah, was Very strange. Yeah.
And then one last time, if you have not taken the portrait of a lady on a portrait of a survey on fire, this is your chance to do it.
And we will actually link to it in the description here as well. So
yes,
check out the notes at the bottom of the podcast, wherever you're listening to it right now.
It's very rewarding. They're going to share the data with us. Be part of it. And now, here we go. ASMR.
ASMR.